set up for me what the world of country music was like at the time he came on the scene.
Well, there was virtually no country music at that time. He made his first so-called country or hillbilly records in 1924, and there had been no recordings at all except for a couple of years. In 1922, an old-time fiddler from Texas named Eck Robertson recorded some songs.
This is Eck Robertson's Arkansas Traveler. It's an instrumental fiddle piece that sometimes earns the distinction of being called the first recorded country song.
It was a brand new field, and they didn't know what to call it. The term that caught on most frequently was hillbilly. And that's what the music was called when I was growing up, and I still like to think of the old-time music as being hillbilly. Vernon Dalhart lived in New York for several years and did all kinds of songs with only indifferent success. So he talked his recording managers into letting him record some hillbilly songs. And in 1924, he recorded The Prisoner's Song, which he claimed had been written by his cousin Guy Massey, but of course nobody knows that for sure.
Oh, I wish I had someone to love me.
And from that point on, Dalhart did nothing but hillbilly songs.
Would this have been the first time that a lot of people outside of the South and outside of rural communities had heard country music?
The South had always had a powerful romantic appeal in American popular culture, beginning at least as early as Stephen Foster. People were intrigued by what they perceived as Southern accents or Southern dialects. And above all, they were enthralled by various images of the South. This idea that the South is a place where time stands still and where old values and old institutions are still around, that was important for people at a time when the United States was becoming very urban and industrial. And there were people in Tin Pan Alley who wrote for this trade. They wrote so-called Southern songs. A lot of songwriters who had never been South at all, they were still intrigued by the region, and so they would write song about hanging mosses and broad flowing rivers and old folks at home, you know, like Stephen Foster did.
Vernon Dalhart was from Texas. He was not...
Yeah, he was from Jefferson.
This question of authenticity has come up, obviously, in country music over the years.
Well, you could tell he was trying to sound country. I think people could recognize that here was a trained classical singer who was trying to imitate the Southern down-home speech. And a lot of people resented him for that very reason. They thought he was just an outlander who was trying to exploit the music of somebody else's culture.
Policeman caught me with a goose, tried to spleen, no doggone use, locked me in the calaboose, sold him cotton beans.
Of course, what he did to sort of talk down to the music in some respects, he also did quite a few songs very, very seriously with no affectation. Songs like The Little Green Valley.
All night long in my dreams I see a spot far away.
You listen to those, and he's singing them straight. And I think he's singing them with conviction, and I think people like them for that reason.
There's something about The Prisoner's Song, too, and I'm sure it goes back further than him, but it's such a sad, almost a maudlin song. It reminds me a little of what Hank Williams would later write.
The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
But remember, that's older than Dalhart. That was present in American popular culture. Even the blackface minstrels did sentimental songs.
That was 1924, the Prisoner's mm-hmm. Song.
Yeah.
Just a couple of years later, you have Jimmy Rogers and the Carter Family. I mean, I can't help it.
27, August right. 1927.
My heart is sad and I'm in sorrow for
me. That's when producer Ralph Peer put out a call for rural singers to come record at his studio in Virginia. A lot of future country music legends showed up to record their first songs, like this one from the Carter Family.
Oh, bear me under the weeping willow, yes, under the weeping everything will obtain.
I can't help but feel like Dalhart might have kickstarted something there.
Once he hit with some of those songs, then the recording business began looking for entertainers that they thought were more authentic. They thought that there might be a market out there for people who really didn't just pretend to be country, but who actually were country. And you mentioned Jimmy Rogers.
Way down in the Delta, on that Mississippi shore.
Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family, they just built very big followings. It was hard for Dalhart to compete with these new entertainers. Compared to them, he seemed artificial and stilted and a little bit condescending, perhaps.
He spent a lot of his later life in such obscurity. I mean, he ended up working as a night clerk at a hotel.
A country musician never retired. They just sort of fade, and they once they lost their recording contracts, and most of them did pretty early, they just went back to doing what they were trained to do. That they were carpenters and brick masons and coal miners and textile workers.
What do you think that says about maybe the fleeting nature of fame or what happens with these people, that he was huge? I mean, and he died sort of obscure, you know?
His songs endured, and he influenced the birth and the evolution of what became known as country music. Hardly anybody remembers him, but that's true of a lot of these early people. The folklorists might not have liked him. The music appreciation people might not have liked him very much, but the so-called folk did. The plain people, they bought his records and they remembered his songs.
Bill Malone is a professor emeritus from Tulane University. He's the author of Country Music USA, first published in 1968. It's been called the definitive history of country music.
You know, it's coming up on its 50th anniversary, 2018.
Oh, yeah? You're going to have a new edition?
Yeah, I'm working on it now. It's going to be a pretty extensive revision.
Excellent. Can't wait to
see
it.
So be on the lookout.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Oh, I wish I had someone to live with, 'cause I'm tired of living alone.